Oh, hey, bro. How are you, bro?
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Keep it in your pants.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I didn't understand anything you said.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You set the table. Jimmy, I've come in early. I've logged in early, so I'm all ready to go. You may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Join us early and often on whatever you want. You set the agenda. Agenda Free Friday is brought to you by Neshoba Valley Ski Area in Westford. Why drive when you can ski, ride, or tube so close to home? Visit skineshoba.com. What we do is Maz, Murray, and I give you some opening takes while the phones are loading up, and then we go to you immediately. So, Maz, you had mentioned pre-show you wanted to defer, but actually, do you have something?
No, you know what? You go first. Okay. You never go first.
I'm going to go first. It's a very simple take, and I've given you something along these lines before, but because I've heard this now a few times, maybe callers to Beadle and Zoe, or just some sort of thing said, or maybe talking to people who are considering going to Minneapolis.
Or in an email I sent to you the other day.
What, my take? How do you know what my take is?
Yeah, good. No, I know what your take is.
Okay, so what did you say in the email the other day?
I said that eventually here we got to be getting near the end. One of these, never mind, go ahead.
No, so maybe that's what's in my head.
Yeah, no, that is, it is what's in your head.
So I'm...
You pilfered it.
I'm pilfering. Okay, sorry, but...
No, pilfer away. I do it all the time.
The point is, I've heard people sort of say this could be the last one. So do I go to Minneapolis? We've done been to eight. I was in Houston. I was, I've heard, this is a fan speaking. I went to a couple, but this might be the last. So do I got to get my ass out there? And this could be the last. And I think other people have framed it that way as well. This could be the last. Bill's probably not going to walk away, but I don't know. They won 3 out of 4 to begin the run. Could they win 3 out of 4 to end the run? And this sort of feels bookendish a little bit. And maybe people are treating it that way. This could be the last one, or it's getting close to the last one. And so people are deciding to go or just treat it as such. And my take is, it better not be. It better not be. You better be starting a whole nother mini era. This is the whole point of trading away Garoppolo and re-signing Bill and letting all the coordinators go. You don't sign these guys at the very end. So that shouldn't be their mindset. That shouldn't be your mindset. That shouldn't be our mindset. We're embarking on another 3 to 5 year run because you're re-upping all these old people. So I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear this is the last roundup or could be the last time or... None of that. No. You don't trade away first round picks for receivers to help you now. You don't let your young coordinators go. You don't let the next young quarterback go. No. This is the beginning of a new mini era. You don't have to give me 10 years, but you better be sniffing here the next 3 to 5. Where's the Super Bowl next year?
Atlanta.
Oh, foul. Okay, you can skip next
that'll
year.
That'll be great.
What's the year after that?
Miami.
Okay.
I'm in.
So, and then is Tampa on board? What's that for?
LA after that one.
Okay, so, fine.
I hit LA, but I go.
I don't want to hear about this being the last. No, that's not the way that works when you let Jimmy Garoppolo go and the coordinators leave and all of that. Nope. This is the beginning of a new mini era. That's my opening take.
New cycle. Murray, you want to go next? Go
ahead. Sure.
Go next, Murray.
Yeah.
You go.
I had quite the juxtaposition in viewing experiences last night that further helped cement my feeling that Doug Peterson is in over his head when it comes to coaching in the Super Bowl. First, I got to watch the 2 Bills 30 for 30 landed in my inbox. I was lucky enough for that. Comes out Thursday. And it's not just porn for Patriots fans. I think it's porn for football fans because these two legendary grumps, in Belichick and Parcells, the joy that they have on their face when they're discussing old game plans, chain of command, they're throwing out military jargon, putting in the hours, outsmarting the opposition, just the little minutia that they love to get into. I'm sure I sound like a bobo to you two, but when it was done, I was like, oh, God, I want to take off my pants. Like, it's that good. And it paints a clearer picture, at least it did to me, as to why these two guys have been so successful. And then I followed that up by watching Week 13, Philadelphia Eagles at Seattle Seahawks. Referenced this game yesterday. Pulled it up on Game Pass. I'm like, you know what? I'm a night owl. I'll watch this whole game in its entirety, not even the shortened version. And it is truly a masterclass in how to blow a game. From conservative game plan in the first half when Carson Wentz is still healthy against what is then a decimated Seahawks defense, Wentz goes 5 for 9 for 45 yards in the first half. which is insane, considering a guy that was, you know, being looked at as an MVP at that time. Gaffes on fourth and short when he should be going for it. He elects to punt when he's in Seattle territory, and he does the complete opposite later in the game. It just felt to me, it's one of these games where every decision felt big, and every decision Doug Peterson made was wrong. He's a corrupted data coach. And by that, I mean, when the data is corrupted with your computer or an app, it starts going like Pete Carroll and Dan Quinn before him in the biggest moments. What do I do here? And it's too late. You've lost the game. He looks to me like a corrupted data coach when the app doesn't launch. And then I just can't get over from the aesthetic standpoint, not to sound like a jerk, because I know I'm no prize. I just can't with this guy in his goofy California hair and the visor. He just looks like football Spicoli. Hey, Mr. Hand, I can't make the game today because I have to catch some tasty waves. I can't take him seriously. I'd rather a guy look like Belichick who looks like they haven't showered in 2 months, because they're putting in every hour and every minute to try to upset the opposition or find what the weakness is. This guy, I'm sorry, he feels to me like he's in over his head.
So I'll make this quick, okay? We here at the Felger and Mazz Show will be attending the Super Bowl yet again here, as we have every season, and it's a special event, as always, when the Patriots are out there. And this thought occurred to me this morning because I did a guest spot on an XM station that bases out of Vegas. And they asked me about the Patriots fan base. And it struck me. Patriots fans like to provoke people. They like to taunt people. That's what you've become. You've become provokers and taunters.
Bullies.
And now you're going to encounter a fan base in Philadelphia that is just waiting to be provoked and taunted. Those people will hit back. No, I take that back. Those people will hit first is what they will do. So here's what I would say to Patriots fans. You have nothing to taunt. Nothing to be insecure about. Don't taunt. Go out there and have a ball, because you get to go to one of these things every single year. Don't do anything stupid, because these people on the other side are lunatics. They're crazy. Win the game. Get out with any body damage. Come home. Have a good time. We'll be happy to see you out there, as we always are. But don't feed the animals. Don't feed the animals. That's my bit of advice to Patriots fans heading into next week.
Those are your opening takes. What are yours? We go right to the phones. We do this all day long. Matt in North Attleboro, lead us off. What do you got?
So I was driving home from work today, and I was thinking to myself about playing some video games when I got home today, and I was like, holy crap, Tom Brady's on the cover of Madden this year. He hasn't been hurt yet this year. I think the Madden curse might strike Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. What do you guys think?
I don't know how you could predict that, but leave it to Brady to be, I know he's not the one guy, but one of the few guys to take a leak all over that thing, too.
Defy the Madden
of
curse.
Of course, of course. Phil in Malden, what do you got for us? Phil, you got to turn down your radio, turn down your TV, whatever it is you got there. Jay in Seabrook, hi.
Hey, what's happening, guys? I can't believe I got on. I've been trying for a few years. I'm sitting here shaking all nervous.
Okay, don't be, babe.
Anyways, I was just calling about Yoko Ono, Gisele Bündchen. I'm so sick of her listening to her. I don't know whose idea it is to put her in front of a microphone. I thought she was supposed to have cameras in front of her. But I will give it to Brady. The guy is about the most whipped guy I've ever seen, but he does have a backbone when it comes to his career and his playing, so I just hope he's got a couple years left before she gets her claws into him. And
Who knows what the real story is? I mean, how they portray themselves on camera, like perfect couple, who knows? It can't be that, right?
Yeah, no, that might be the call of the year for me. Guy waits 2 years.
I've been waiting 2 years, and really all I want to say is women should be seen and not heard.
That guy was awesome.
But this ties into my opening take. She can't be telling him to retire. Giselle,
no,
you
yeah.
can't. That's you're not allowed to do that anymore, G. He helped force the trade of the guy that was going to set the franchise up for the next decade. So you can't. That's now off the table. You can't be whispering in his ear.
Jay Feely needs to have an intervention with her. Look, he's still at the top of his game. You need to shut up.
But it's not just at the top of the game. It's you can't help force the trade of the next guy and then hang him up yourself. You can't. It's not on the table. It's no longer on the table, Tom, which means it's no longer on the table, G.
Oh, what a dink move that'd be if he ever walked. Like, after all the whining.
I mean, he has to give you 3 years to justify that, doesn't he?
Look, you're preaching to the choir here. I told you I'd have kept the other guy. And I'm not even telling you that I'd have gotten rid of Brady, because that's a hard one. I agree with you on that, but you should have kept the other guy.
So, but for Brady to pay...
What a handsome hubby!
for Brady to pay that off, he's got to go 3 years. You've got to go 3 years now. No option. Not optional.
Because again, it's one thing to draft the next quarterback. It's going to take a couple of years to get him ready.
And I would also say,
Garoppolo didn't start till the beginning of year three.
Contend. Like, then this is also ties into my opening take. This can't be it. This can't be it. You have to play for 3 more years and you've got to go again, or you got to sniff at it again. You got to be right there, which I think they will be. I'm not telling you they won't. I'm just telling you it's now not an option. Because when you go all in with the old guys, you don't. You know, this isn't the last round. If this were the last roundup, then you sweep the decks and you go with all the young coordinators and the young quarterback. So this is just the beginning. This ain't the end. We're off and running on an agenda-free Friday. Brought to you by Neshoba Valley Ski Area.
It's Brady, boy, Jimmy.
Brady driving away. Here's a CBS Sports Minute.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
To your ears.
Blunt force trauma!
I'm gonna run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, Tom, I realized when you arrived here in 2000 you had a lot of confidence, but if somebody told you then that you would win 3 out of 4 early in your career and then 13 years later you'd have a chance to do that a second time, what would you have thought?
I'd have thought you're crazy to think that, or I was crazy to think that. This has just all been, you know, I guess it's my life, so I'm living it, and it feels very natural and normal just because, you know, I wake up every day and I feel very much the same as I did when I walked in here 18 years ago. I really do. And it's a great privilege to play here, and it's a great privilege to play in the NFL. And I try to represent the team well. I try to represent my family. Try to do things the right way. I'm very blessed. So could never imagine getting, you know, the kind of, you know, team achievements we've done and had. I mean, I don't think anyone can ever take those for granted. These are pretty amazing times for all of us. Fans included, players, coaches, everyone. It's very special.
Gabby, just so that... What I'm saying to you is, if you're going out to Minneapolis because you think this could be the last roundup, it better not be. It better not be. Otherwise, you should have made the switch. So, that's just one opening take. It's agenda-free Friday. Again, everything being on the table. Whatever you want, including Justin in Worcester wants to weigh in on the Marcus Smart story, which we did not get to yesterday. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, really appreciate taking the call. Thanks. I don't know if it's because the Celtics are playing on the West Coast this week or the Patriots are in the Super Bowl next week. But this is the perfect agenda-free Friday topic. Marcus Smart misses a shot at the end of the game against the Lakers the other night and just magically cuts his hand in his hotel room and needs stitches. And all of a sudden today we're finding out his arm's in a sling. Like, this guy has been known to be a hothead. He's been struggling, and no one is talking about this in Boston right now. I'll hang up and let you guys hopefully eviscerate this guy.
This would be the biggest story in Boston if it wasn't for the Patriots. It would be, and it should be. Just the ramifications of... Marcus Smart. I mean, I immediately go big picture and think, what's his future with the team? How do they really feel about him? They didn't extend him in the offseason when they could have. They want to keep the flexibility more than they want to keep the player. I think they like the player. Of course they like the player. But they felt that if they signed him, they lose flexibility with Anthony Davis or anyone else. So he's sort of on the fence of whether he's back or not. And huge value on the floor in terms of winning games, his hustle plays. We've just talked about this a million times over. But now he pulls something like this, and we don't even know exactly what it is yet, but it ain't good. Whatever it is, I think we can all acknowledge it's not good.
Of course. There's no way he hit something. I mean, he hit something. What's the other explanation? And if they told us it was, you know, he was washing
slipped
dishes.
And fell.
Right. Washing dishes and cut his hand. Would you buy it?
No. At the Four Seasons in Los Angeles? No.
I mean, he got pissed. He got pissed and he hit something. He cut his hand. Fact. Like, to me, now, the particulars, I don't know.
Or he got in a fight, or he hit somebody.
Right.
Or someone hit him, or he was inebriated and slipped and fell, or whatever. We come up with a million different things. None of them are good.
Right, that's right. I mean, other than it was a freak accident, like Brady. And I dismiss that. I don't think it can be that.
No, Brad Stevens said the other day they're investigating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it was a basketball thing, they would know about it.
So when you weigh in the off-field, the off-court stuff with this guy, I don't know, maybe it's enough to tip the scale. It probably is. I shouldn't say maybe. Like, we've had this debate, Rozier versus Smart. Which guy ultimately would you keep? If you factor in off-court, I think you let Smart go.
So I've always been keep Smart, let Rozier go. But this is a factor. I mean, like, this, if he's if he's off the reservation, if he's a loose cannon, or, you know, whatever, if he's a problem, then you got to weigh that in. I've always been, I think Marcus Smart's more valuable to you than Terry Rozier. I do. I think you can find another Rozier. I think there are very few guys that hit the deck like Marcus Smart. But this is a weird one, man, and this is a factor. So is Stevens talking today about it? He's doing 4 o'clock, did I hear, Jimmy Stewart? Is he doing a pregame thing?
I would believe so on the West Coast. It might be like 6-ish, but I believe he is.
So here's what I'm curious about. Just how transparent they're going to be. Are they going to give us the Irving Fryer? He was cutting fish the night before. What was that for Cocta story?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Remember that? So are they going to give us a pile of crap? Or are they going to at least allude to the truth? That's what I'm curious about when they finally come out and tell us about it. We've got Ron in Nashua on Brady. Go ahead, Ron.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
The more I hear about this TB12 thing, the more I'm getting concerned about Brady, and here's why, and then I'll hang up. Patty cake, Brady's thigh. If you're looking for the next Jim Jones, then I'm your guy.
Okay.
Boo.
It is cultish what he's doing.
Yeah, look, at some point it becomes obsessive. And when anything becomes obsessive, it gets weird.
Okay, it's weird. But as long as it's benefiting the Patriots and us and everybody,
ride it.
Go nuts.
Yeah, ride
absolutely.
It. Yeah, ride it out. Fine. I'm just, shoving it down other people's throats, though, to me is always a different thing.
Well, that's when you get the pushback. So he's invited it, and he's certainly getting it. TJ in Portland on Maz's opening take about the Patriots fans and Mini. Go ahead, TJ.
Yeah, Maz, I just wanted to ask you, what makes the Patriots fans such antagonists in your view?
Oh, I think they're, they have a persecution complex. They love to tell... Go ahead, what?
This is McClatchy. You people in the national media saying that the Patriots tape the Philadelphia Eagles. John Ritchie the other day is on the radio saying that the only reason they win is because they tape practices, which has zero truth to it. There's constantly, on a daily basis, things made up about Brady. Oh, he fakes injuries, so he has a built-in excuse. But the Patriots are oversensitive fans. You just ignore the national storylines all the time.
But TJ, who cares? Who cares what who cares what they say?
Don't you love TJ calling up to try and prove to people that
That's
Patriots fans aren't sensitive?
Yeah, who cares? You got all the rings. What are you worried about?
TJ, no, you're doing a good job proving the Patriots fans are not sensitive. I think you stand as a good standard bearer for that.
Felger, when the Bulls were winning titles, did people say Michael Jordan's got built-in excuses why he loses? And Brady has never done anything like that. He conducts himself professionally all the time, never blames anything on injuries. And Bart Scott, other football players, all this ridiculous crap.
No, good. Good job proving you're not sensitive.
See, but again, what are you worried about what they're saying for? If it's sour grapes, in your mind, if it's sour grapes, let them air their laundry. Who cares?
Here's all the proof you need. Say anything even remotely negative about a player or the team on Twitter, it's like kicking a hornet's nest. Oh, you thought Kyle Van Noy had a bad game? Ah!
See, I just look at it as when the whole thing is done and it's all written. But everyone's already calling Brady the greatest quarterback of all time, greatest player of all time. So clearly the cheating doesn't deter people from doing that.
I think your point was... Careful where you go with your act this week, because you're dealing with the fan base.
Psychos!
It's the closest thing we have to soccer hooligans in the country.
Absolutely! Act like you've been there before is what I would tell you, if you're a Patriots fan, because you have.
If you don't want a Philly fan to barf on you and then get tased, just skate your lane. You've got your rings. There's really nothing to... I guess what you're saying is these Philly fans, you just wouldn't trifle with them.
Yeah, don't provoke them. Remember, they punch horses. Okay, they punch
twice.
Horses. Imagine what they'll do to you.
Gary in Maine on the Red Sox here on Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
We're good.
What do you think of Machado for Bradley and Bogaerts, but we sign Martinez first? You plug Machado in short.
Okay, so no. It sounds great for you. It sounds great for you. You think Bogaerts, you said Bogaerts and Bradley for, why would that be good enough for Baltimore? They want pitching.
Hello? Is that what they want?
They don't want. It's going to take a hell of a lot more than Bogaerts and Bradley to get Machado.
Okay, look, it's Agenda Free Friday. It's Agenda Free Friday, so we're allowed to talk about anything. But as a general rule going forward, I'm going to tell you right now that I am not talking about the Red Sox unless they actually do something.
It's a boycott.
Okay? It's a Red Sox boycott. I am boycotting the Red Sox.
Until
they do something, I am not talking about them.
Sean and Marlboro up next on Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. You guys got me thinking about something yesterday when you were talking about how a lot of the teams just continually suck in the NFL. And this is kind of true with all sports. But there was the evolution of the game that you guys have talked about before, going from defense and running to passing. And something that I was thinking about is two other major changes have happened. One is free agency, which has caused individual player salaries to go up significantly. But then the other thing that's happened that I actually think contributes is revenue sharing and TV money. Bad teams, small market teams, no longer have to put a decent product out on the field to bring people in to make money. So now there's no more incentive for bad teams to try to be good periodically. So revenue sharing allows teams like...
Yeah, but okay, but Sean, let me just cut you off. They've had revenue sharing since the late 60s.
I know, but would combine that with the TV contracts and free agency causing individual players, I think that it's compounded the issue. So you get an occasional team like Houston that'll come out, but overall, I think
I think you're right. It you know, I think the Cincinnati Bengals and the Brown family could care less whether they're 8-8 or 6-10, and if they go 0-1 in the playoffs or 3, they could care less because the TV money, they roll out of bed and they get their TV money. I think there's a lot of teams like that. I think the caller's right. But I mean, that's the money's never been greater, so that's true. But that general principle has existed, and it's a communist, socialistic league, and it has been for a long, long time. And it's, you know, I don't think that fully explains away the Patriots' dominance and why no one else can compete. I don't know. Maybe it's just psychological, Maz, and it's a cycle that you've seen with some of the great, great, greats of all time, which is what Brady is. I mean, maybe you get in these eras where there's just a singular player that just so dominates that everyone just says we're playing for second place, like Tiger Woods for a time, or Michael Jordan for a time, or, you know, Gretzky, you know, what your hockey equivalent is. And it just sort of people, there's a given factor or something. I don't know what it is, but it's something because there's really no practical excuse for why the league is this limp in these last couple of years.
I mean, this year, again, to me, the quality of play or the quality of good play, right? Because you're always going to have bad teams. But there just aren't any elite teams, anyone even really. And I don't think the Patriots are elite either. And the gap between them and everyone else feels big.
So, I think it starts with coaching. And I think hopefully we're just in a bad cycle. We're just in a down cycle of coaches. And it'll pick back up here in the next couple of years. Here's Murray's update. We're back on an Agenda Free Friday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
High slot, Carlson, 5 seconds left. Shoots in the slot. Here's Krejci with it. He'll eat it along the far side, then wrist it the length of the ice, and that'll do it. Tuukka Rask and the Boston Bruins have collected points in 18 consecutive games for the first time since 1968-69. Your final tonight, the Boston Bruins record a 3-2 victory over the Ottawa Senators.
What they're doing right now, 18 straight without a loss, they have not done in 49 years.
1969.
You just heard Surratt there with the call here on 98.5 The Sports. I'll give it to you.
Bobby Orr.
18 straight without a loss. The last time they did that, Bobby Orr was skating around out there. They didn't do it when they won the Cup in 70. They didn't do it when they won the Cup in 72. They didn't do it when they won the Cup in 2011. They didn't do it when they won the President's Trophy in 2014. They didn't do it when they went to the Cup in 13. They didn't do it when they went to the Cup in 90 and 92. They didn't. This is the first time they've done this in 49 years.
See, this reminds me. Do you remember? I don't know if you're going to remember this. Late in 2011, they went on a trip, and they won them all. Do you remember this?
Yes.
I think they won 6 or 7 games on a road trip. They won them all.
Yes, and you want to know how I remember this?
Because it was the first time they'd done it since they'd won the Cup.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And it has sort of that. You know, look, I'm not telling you they're winning anything. Okay, we'll see.
I always remember because Haggerty wrote on that trip that they looked like a Cup winner. And I went, idiot.
But it has, you know, look, again, last night, no Marchand, no McAvoy, last game before the break, had all the makings again of you could feel it coming, like, oh, perfect. They win all these games in a row, and then right before the break, because they lose Marchand, they're going to lose. And then they're going to have 5 days off and come out and suck. Like, again, you start to snowball. And they won.
And no Achari as well. They're a buzzsaw. It's ridiculous.
So I think they've been down their last eight games. I think they've given up the first goal the last seven or eight games, something like this, which is another, I forgot to look it up, but that's like another absurd streak. They haven't done that since Brad Park was skating around out there. Like, so they get down every game and they come back and win. And now, as Maz just said, they've done it without their best defenseman, McAvoy, best forward last night, Marchand. And it's just, it's absurd. They're the third best team in the league by record. The best team in the league is Tampa. You're 5 points behind them with two in hand. So if you win those two, you're 1 point out of the best record in the league. That's just stupid. So anyway, there's your Bruins Minute.
I mean, this guy, I know the Vegas guy's right there. I don't even know who the Vegas coach is. But Cassidy's in the discussion for coach.
Oh, he would be if it wasn't for Vegas.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right, Lisa in the car on Brady. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. All right. You touched upon this at the beginning of the show, but I just wanted to add a little bit more. A few days ago, I was reading the report about Giselle and how much she wants Brady to retire because of all the injuries he sustained. And I was thinking about how pissed I would be if he did retire, whether we win the Super Bowl or not. I do believe there's truth to Brady insisting that he trade Garoppolo. And if he up and retires, no matter what, he will have, you know, made it very difficult for the Patriots to have their continued success
in the next few years. You'd pork them. It'd be a total pork job, Lisa.
Yeah, I'd be pissed because especially in the setting of this Tom versus time thing, it's such crap. I'm not taking any away from his legacy on the field, but I'm starting to feel like it's all about him at the end of the day behind closed doors. And I hope he sticks it out. I'm cautiously optimistic he's going to continue to play for the next few years.
Oh, he's going, Lisa.
Like I said, if he retires, I'll be so pissed.
You should be. You should be. Thanks for the call. He's not retiring. I'm not implying that he is. I'm just telling you that option, if it were on the table, is no longer on the table. And I'd like Giselle to play along because now you're a family and you do things together and your husband at his work just, you know, contributed to the trading of the next guy. He just helped force the future out of the building, which means Tom is the future. Okay, so Tom is the future. Quit chirping in his ear about retiring. He can't.
It's easier said than done, I would imagine.
He can't retire.
I'm with Murray.
Not
you can't stop someone from chirping.
Seriously. I don't understand it. What more is there to accomplish? How many more of these gaudy rings do you need? God, they're ugly. And these trophies, like, all right. All right, and as someone tweeted to me yesterday, these concussions, remember she talked about concussions, plural, when she was on that CBS show? How many of those were actually real, where he instead comes home and it's, oh yeah, no, I got dinged up today. I need to be in a quiet room, G. A quiet room, you hear me? In a dark, quiet room. But I wanted to talk to you. We had things to discuss, the business. I wanted to see if you were going to... Nope, concussed. Concussed. Goes in a quiet room and just smiles to himself.
Seriously, though, look... I'll stay away from Jay. I'll stay away from Jay.
He ain't going anywhere.
She ruined
it for
me.
He better not be.
She ruined it for me a long time ago.
So, did I say the Bruins went 90-92? 88-90 is when they went, right?
Yes, 88-90.
Here's Derek in the car on Murray's opening take. Doug Peterson, what do you think his chances are of coming through with a Super Bowl win in a week there, Derek?
I think they're pretty decent. I'm sitting here listening to you guys yesterday. I tried calling a couple times and got disconnected, but... I'm an Eagles fan living here in Boston for a long time. I'll admit, at the end of last season, I wasn't sure. I thought they needed to maybe look somewhere else. But I gotta admit, I think he's done a really good job this year. I'll give you two really quick examples of how I think he's really matured as a coach and why I think he's got the Eagles in good position. He does a lot of good things with getting players in space, designing plays to get really good matchups, a lot like Belichick. But really good example is the Atlanta game. So with the bye week, they had a chance to self-scout. He went back and looked at what Foles did really well. You know, they had a lot of that stuff. We're going to let Nick be Nick. They came out with their game plan the first couple of quarters. Things weren't really clicking. Now, I don't know how many head coaches you know that would do this, but he basically threw out pretty much everything that they've been running all year, and he ran Chip Kelly's offense. So, you know, we've all heard about the RPOs. He ran it not necessarily to run Chip Kelly's offense. He ran it to get Nick comfortable, get him in the rhythm, and then they started blending and bringing back in all the other stuff.
So, Derek?
So then you go to last week's game.
I can't let you go to last week. I just gave you a minute and 20 seconds. I'll grant you all of it. I'll grant you all of it. Came with a brilliant game plan last week, self-scouted, changed it up, got a good mind, gets his players in space. Give you all of it. I'm not going to argue with you. 60 minutes. Against Bill Belichick on the biggest stage there is in a game like any other he's ever been in. Let's see. This I do know. If Peterson ain't ready for it, everyone will know it.
It'll be exposed.
I'm telling you, if you have NFL Game Pass, Week 13, Eagles at Seahawks, watch that game. And I know, look, they've won two playoff games. They deserve to be here. It's a very talented team, especially defensively. Watch the decisions he makes that game. Watch it in its entirety. Not throwing challenge flags. Several should go for it on fourth and ones. Gimmies. You can hear the brain
but
just stop working.
And when you go against, now, however that is, however bad that was, Murray, if and when he does that in a week,
amplify it by 1,000.
By 1,000.
A million.
Okay, Dan Quinn will never live it. 28-3.
Neither will Pete.
Is in, it should be branded on his forehead. 28-3. It's never. That's the first line of his wiki page. It's that. That's it. And Pete Carroll throwing instead of handing off to Marshawn Lynch, even though Pete's already won one at college and the pros. As many people, if not more, are going to remember him for that than what. And the whole story after last year was Mike Tomlin and that pathetic game plan. Like, if Doug Peterson's not ready, he's going to be ruined if he loses this game. It's just the way it happens on
it's
that.
It's called
stage.
Halo.
It's like, and it's, you know, what form is it going to take? Is he going to blow
the pass? Is a great idea to throw the ball to get your touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
Is he going
to
blow his timeouts? Is he going to screw up the clock? Is he going to run when he should pass or pass when he should run?
Throw it, Bev.
What's he going to do,
Pete?
Because whatever he does, it's and the whole world's going to see it, and it's never going to be forgotten. And you think,
we're going to win. It's just, I'm not sure which down it's going to happen on.
And then when it happens, he's going to have to go back to Philadelphia. He's going to have to try and live it down in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they might as well take like raw steaks and stick them on his ass so people can chew on him while he's walking
down
the street.
That doesn't make anybody feel any good.
Seriously.
Hell yeah. I feel bad for the guy already.
Oh, God. Like, seriously, having to go against Belichick, the game's hard enough as it is. I hope it's a game. I do. But if there's no way you can possibly look at the final minutes of that game and think that Philly has an edge if it's close. There's just no way.
A long commercial-free segment comes your way right after this.
The pass is a great idea to throw the ball to get your touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
That I learned this week, one thing. How long has Bill Belichick and Brady been together?
18 years.
18 years. Almost 20 years doing this together. The league is not competitive. We all should be ashamed. Even you guys that's been covering them on TV
Why?
Should be ashamed. What? Players should be ashamed. Coaches should be ashamed. Owners should be ashamed. How do we let these guys do this year in and year out? Congratulations. You guys are phenomenal. You guys are great. Can't get any better. But how? There's 31 other organizations. Let this happen. Now, I know Ray's going to say, I won a Super Bowl. I did my job. You should have won 5.
Brandon Marshall's 100% correct.
There's a lot of truth to that.
A lot. It's 100% true. It's 100% true. If I were a member of the league, I would feel like a bitch. As a whole, that league. You're going to let them run roughshod over you like this? Not one of you? And I see, Ray Lewis is one of the few guys he shouldn't talk to. Because Ray won a couple, and he came in here and beat you a couple times. And so at least with Ray Lewis and that Ravens team, there was a back and forth. The Patriots got them. They got you. It was competition. It was as it should be. Not this thing that we've been seeing. Brandon Marshall's 100% right, and he really should be directing it at the AFC East, of which he has been a member. Wasn't he on both the Jets and the Dolphins?
I don't know if he ever played for the Dolphins.
Didn't he? Didn't Brandon Marshall play for the Dolphins for a time?
No, I don't think so.
I don't remember. But
Bears.
Either way, he's been in the...
He did.
Yeah, he did. So, you know, Marshall's had a couple cracks at him. So where were you, pal? So, I mean, that's hypocritical, but especially the AFC East. What a group of doormats. That not what... In 2 decades, the closest anyone has come to giving you a go were the Jets for 2 seasons, and that's it.
You're talking about in the division now.
In the division.
Okay.
Now, again, Miami got you in 08 when Brady was hurt. In 02, someone got you when you had your second year. But for the most part, there's been only one team that you could say had a legit back and forth for at least a little bit. And that's the Jets. In those 2 years with Rex, they beat you 3 out of 5 times and beat you in the playoffs. So, you know, but the other eight, you know, the other 18 of the 20, the 16 of the 18 years, that is pathetic. I'm sorry. Brandon Marshall's right.
I look at some of the other quarterbacks in the conference, too, over the years. Like Roethlisberger and the Steelers. or, you know, even Manning with the Colts and then the Broncos. And I know he faded at the end.
Okay, but at least Manning, Maz.
Okay, he won a couple.
Manning won a couple. He went to four. That era from 05, 06 in there, like, they had their way. At least there was a back and forth. It was mostly goo.
What's Roethlisberger's excuse?
The Steelers, I would look at all that talent. All that talent these years.
I mean, they have faded here. Roethlisberger's faded. There was a time there where he was right in the conversation with Brady and Manning, and now he's faded out of it. Like, I look at that and say, okay, what happened there? There's a guy who lost his, you know, his motivation, stopped caring, and just faded into the background, and he didn't have a coach to rein him in on top of it. Like, I get more pissed at a team like that, because they had a shot. The other ones, and listen, I'm not defending the teams of the division. How could you? They never got close. None of them.
And maybe that's my criticism. Like, could at least one of you have a clue for longer than 2 years? One team had a clue for 2 years. That's it. That's it. Come on. So I agree with Brandon Marshall 100%. Other than the thing that Ray Lewis should have won five. I think that's asking a little much. Here's George and Methuen. What do you got on Agenda Free Friday, George?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Well, real quick on Brady. I'm not a big fan either. But this guy does stay humble, unlike LeBron James. And I got a question for James Stewart. Who you got on the Rumble? I got The Miz or Elias? What do you think, buddy?
Okay, we got a wrestling question. We got a Rumble coming up.
Royal Rumble is on Sunday night. It's the start of the road to WrestleMania, which is in New Orleans this year. So, to answer his question, I think Baron Corbin, former NFL player, is going to win, and I think Ronda Rousey on the
Ronda Rousey's in WWE.
I believe she's going to be a surprise entrant on Sunday for the Women's Royal Rumble.
Well, she can't be that much of a surprise if you're talking about
yeah,
it, Jimmy.
That surprise is over. How do you like McMahon and the XFL? Give me 30 seconds on Jim McMahon and the XFL, Stu. You think it's going to work?
Vince.
Or Vince McMahon.
Or whatever his name is.
I think that it's going to work, but I think ultimately him announcing it is to get more money for his wrestling company, and I think Fox is going to ultimately end up buying it and putting together this XFL under maybe a different name. But this is a play. His rights with USA Network are up, and I think he's going to cause a bidding war where I think Fox is going to end up with the rights to his two wrestling programs and the football league, and that's where it's going to go from there.
Do you understand that?
Nope.
I didn't get it.
He's going to get more money out of everything, all of his properties.
So the football league is being used to leverage his wrestling properties?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I don't get how exactly, but be that as it may.
TV rights.
I am all for another league. I'm all for a second football league. I love it. Again, I told you I used to love the USFL. I defy any of you to challenge me on any piece of USFL trivia. I will shove it right down your gullet. It's the only thing that I know is the USFL. I used to love that thing. And so I'm all for a second league. I'll embrace it.
No, believe it when I see it.
It'll only work if the quality of the football is up to snuff.
Well,
that's
see,
it.
So that's what I mean. And when I say when I believe it when I see it, I'll believe that people will embrace it when I see it.
If he can take a player like Baker Mayfield, who wouldn't be NFL quality but would be secondary league quality, and make him a star, it'll work.
Well, if Tim Tebow's starting at quarterback in the XFL, I'm watching. That's all I know.
It's possible.
Mike in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Going on Murray's opening take in Doug Peterson week 13 against Seattle. If you want to go back and watch an uglier game, go back and see the last time the Eagles played the Patriots. Okay? It was a thing of beauty. Sam Bradford went 14 for 24, beat you 35-28. And I think that's when Nate Ebner had that beautiful pooch kick up 14-0. And I'm just wondering if you think the two Bills collaborated on that game plan.
It's a good point. That was Chip Kelly at the time, and the Patriots had no business losing that game. They threw it away. It was that ugly right. December.
So does that game have any bearing at all whatsoever on this one?
It doesn't have anything to do with this game, but you know what? Doug Peterson is in the Super Bowl, okay? And for you guys to rip him after you ripped the coach that you guys played last week, it does have bearing. I would think that you guys are pretty knowledgeable about sports, and you might have learned your lesson last week. Doug Peterson and the Eagles should be favored in this game, okay? They're better.
If they had Carson Wentz, I might agree with you.
Thanks, right. Thanks for the call, Mike. Eagles trash talk. It's cute.
I mean, if they had Carson Wentz, maybe. That would have been a game right there.
Like, again, I'm not a true Patriots fan, so I don't, like, I can't. But I'm curious. I may ask you, Murray. Does that get your blood boiling, Patriots fans? Or do you hear that and be like, it's cute?
No, I think it's cute, especially when I can pick up that he has that hideous Philadelphia accent, too.
No, but it's like your first-year coach and your nickel-and-dime team without your MVP quarterback. I mean, it's a cute little story. But I mean, isn't a fan, if you're a Patriots fan, isn't that like your little brother trying to punch you and you just put your hand on his head and he's flailing away at you? And like,
yeah,
there's just really, it's just really more cute and fun than it is challenging. Like, do you really, does that make your blood boil hearing a Philly fan talk like that?
Doesn't make me, my blood boil.
No, but I think
I thought
that
guy was a clown.
That large segment of Patriots fans were like, where's our respect? You need to respect. Kiss the rings, bro. Kiss the rings. Where's the respect? Like, I'm not that guy. I listen to that guy. I think he's a joke.
I mean, we're bringing up a game from 4 years ago when Chip Kelly was the coach and Sam Bradford was the freaking quarterback.
Because
what does that have to do with anything?
Especially when Belichick thought the game was in the bag and he wanted to get cute and harken back to when football was played in his father's era and he tried a dropkick because he just wanted to do it. Just because he loves Bill gets off on the drop, the Flutie drop kick for an extra point, the mortar kick, that thing. He felt was a perfect opportunity because the Eagles were so pathetic. And so not to be concerned with that he thought he could start dinking around with plays his father ran at Navy in the 50s and the 40s. And that's why he tried that. So he lost that one. But that's why he tried that against you, Philly, because he had that little respect for you as a team. So
you basically spit at you.
Felger and Maz.